Hari Om. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so now we're dealing with the Vastutraya, right? With the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So here we have, then, he says, Vishaya is the subject matter. Complete knowledge is knowledge which is understood in terms of Vastutraya, as explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you have, okay, this is Vishaya. Then you have Vishaya. That's the doubt. So I'm not sure exactly what he's doing here. Okay, what is he doing here? Okay. Mahaprabhu's definition of Vastutraya is theological. Okay, then we have Purvapaksha, objection. So this means it has to be after explaining the other things. Theology is just one of the branches of learning, and theological tenets do not necessarily apply to all aspects of life. An experienced traveler might not be a learned Vedic scholar or a religious man, and still he may have complete knowledge of traveling and travel without understanding the principles of Vastutraya. Okay, Uttara, reply to the objections. Vastu means substance, Traya means three. Vastutraya are the three substances or principles of any endeavor, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means relationships or elements, Abhideya means process, and Prayojana means goal. Understanding the Vastutraya of any situation is a solid method of analysis. Okay, so okay, so in other words, here we're saying here is, now they're trying to give an example here, is that, okay, now we're taking the subject. The subject is, Mahaprabhu explained everything according to Vastutraya. So everything is according to Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? Whether, in all aspects. Then the doubt is, okay, this is nice. This is nice, but this is theory. Right? It's nice theory, but it's theory. It's not practical. Right? Because we see there's a man, he gives example of a traveler. He knows how to travel around, he can go to all places, he can do everything, and he doesn't know Vastutraya, and his life's going perfectly. So therefore, it's a nice philosophy, but it actually doesn't apply in our day-to-day life. Right? There's so many people in this world are successful, they don't know what Vastutraya is, and their life goes on. So why are you saying that Mahaprabhu's Vastutraya is the basis of all understanding and of all action? Right? So then here we're saying, then the reply to that is that this Vastutraya, Traya means three. So that means, and Vastu means substance. So there's three aspects of substance. They apply everywhere. So whether the traveler knows about this or not, if he's experienced and he's getting a proper result, means he's actually unknowingly following it. Does that make sense? By some, In other words, good karma means you will follow it or get that situation. Not good karma means it won't happen for you. Right? So better karma is it's connected to the philosophy. It has a solid basis. Right? Then from there, it will move into, how do you say? Yeah. From there, then you can more scientifically apply it in your natural performance of your duties. Does that make sense? That means it doesn't matter what your karma is. Right? Because the highest piety is the study of the Vedas. So by studying the Veda, then you have the knowledge how to apply this in your life. Right? And by applying this in your life, then it works. So even though by material karma you don't deserve it, by the grace of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, you get it. Right? So that's why one should never be proud of one's previous position or accomplishments. Because it's the Shastric application that actually creates good. Right? Does that make sense? If you're getting good where you don't perceive its connection to Shastra, why would one want to be proud of that? Because it's temporary. Right? It's the results of action. Right? So that means you're only working off the result. You're not generating new. So if you're not generating new, how can you say? You know what I'm saying? You have so much money, and you're spending the money lavishly, right? But how can you be really proud that I'm rich? Because you're spending the money. You're not generating any more. You know what I'm saying? You are generating billions, you're spending millions. That's something to be proud of. Right? You're not generating anything, you're spending millions, then how much time is it before you have nothing? Right? So that's why then one will be going along and suddenly there'll be a big slap in the face. Because then what's there from your piety is finished. Right? Does that work? Does this work for you back there? Yeah? Okay. See, because this is a very specific class. These are specific classes that run on a very technical level. And so it's not actually a general class. Right? So that's why I'm saying we can't just go into the normal thing, because it's too technical to break it up. Once you do that, then the gap between waiting for the translation, then the brain can't remember what it was saying, you know, before. Okay? Yeah? Like that. Okay. That's I'm just explaining why you can't do that with this class. You could do it with other classes, but not this one. Okay, is that making sense here? So in other words, someone has a thing, they give their doubt, then they give their reasons, right? Then you give your reply to the reasons. Okay? Does that make sense? Remember before we were studying in this. Now this is taking it from this there, Vishaya, Vishaya, Purva Paksha, Uttara, and then I'm not sure what was the last one, maybe it was Siddhanta or something. Okay? But we also remember is that when we were doing the other one, is that you had the thesis and the Hetu and all those different aspects. That other means of presenting it. Right? Means I think Vyasa's terminology that he used, or it was the other way around. This is Vyasa, and then the other one is Gotama. Is that you give your thesis, your reasons, your examples, bringing everything together, your synthesis, and then bringing it closer, and then giving your final point and its connection to the Shastra. Does that make sense? So they're doing the same thing, because here in the doubt it comes up because now you've explained what's going on. Okay? So the doubt comes with that. Then they give their objections. when they give their objections, that's when you're going to, that's in the third part, that's when you're going to give all your examples. Right? And explanations. Right? So then you reply to these, then in that you're going to bring it all together. Right? And then conclude with something that shows that there's not a difference. That makes sense? So you're basically doing the same thing. It's just how you perceive it, on whether you're just presenting it or you're having to discuss it. Does that make sense? So the discussion, then there's more put into the element of that interaction. Right? Well, the other one is that you're just explaining it in such a way that it goes through very, very smoothly. Right? Just very logical steps you're just going through, because you're talking, no one else is talking. So you can just go through and present it very logically. But if you're saying something and then there's a doubt, you have to deal with the doubt. So therefore the interaction takes prominence. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not translating? Hard to translate. Huh? Too fast. Yes. We're talking slow. Okay. Yes.
Why are examples used to support the main point?
Why would examples be used? You give a concept. Now you have to relate that concept. It means you have to explain the concept in relationship to something that who you're explaining to would understand, right? Like I remember math class upstairs, right? The teacher was explaining, I think, some aspect of fractions to the kids. And he was using an example of construction. And he was using bricks. You know, you have so many bricks, you know, built up, and then how many are in this and how many are in that. The kids are sitting there with a blank look on their face. Right? Then he understood there's a blank look. Right? Then he started talking about this in relationship to food. Immediately, all the eyes lit up, the brain switched on, and the example was understood, you know, just like that. You know, because the point was, is if you had so many bricks, it's going to take so many bricks here, then how are you going to divide it up? Nobody, didn't make any sense. So he says, okay, you go over and you get one of, you know, Radamanova's cheesecakes, and, you know, there's so many boys and this and that, so how are you going to divide the cheesecake? Immediately the brains are working. Does that make sense? So that's why examples are there, is you bring it into the realm of the, the understanding or the field of experience of who you're speaking to. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. Is that you say the thing, you expand it enough that it's clear what you're saying. Then you give examples so that they can relate it into their life. Right? Then you can bring that, you know, nearer by now. So therefore, this is what's going to be done, and we can see that this is the best way to do it. Right? So then you've started with your point, you ended with the same point, but in between you've made it useful for whoever you're explaining it to. The practically useful. Right? That's the one thing of, I think it's, is it Shrotriya? I think it's Shrotriya. One of the, I think it's, there's one, oh, it's a term used by Mano. And the term means someone who can make something theoretical understandable and practical. And in other words, he can take something that's theoretical and allow you to actually see it. Does that make sense? So that is what you're trying to gain in a teacher. A teacher should be able to explain something that you don't know in a way that you can actually see it. Not understand, see it. You know, it becomes, you're able to relate to it. Right? So, since people have certain things they like to see and certain things they don't like to see, like the kids like to see Prashad. So therefore, that's something they can see. So when you give the example through that, they actually understand it. Does that make sense? Because understand means enough to use it. Understand doesn't mean it's just logical. Understand means enough to use it. Right? Or enough to contemplate it so you can use it. But the point is the result should be practical. Results should be practical. If it's not practical, it's not actually up to the Vedic standard. Right? So that's the complaint here. It's just theological. It's not actually practical. But no, they're explaining, no, Lord Chaitanya's is the most practical. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes.
Do we have a compilation of all analogies and examples in our topic-wise manner?
In a topic-wise manner, maybe?
Which can be used by the preacher.
Did I know BBT published something like that? But that's a question for them. Okay. Let us take an example of Devadatta desiring to reach the town of Vrindavan. His goal or prayojan is get to Vrindavan. The abhideya or process he will use to get there will depend on his sambandha or current position in relation to Vrindavan. Firstly, he will need to find out where Vrindavan is. Is it north, south, or west of his current location? Like that. How far is it from his current location? Depending upon the answers to these questions, he will be able to decide on his abhideya or process for achieving his goal. If his position is that he is in Delhi, then his abhideya may be to catch a train to Mathura, then a bus or taxi to Vrindavan. Or his abhideya may be just rent a taxi right in Delhi. If his sambandha is that he is in Australia or in the USA, then it will not be possible for him to get to Vrindavan by train or taxi. He will need to consider a different mode of transport, like a plane or possibly a ship. Taking all sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana into consideration, Devadatta's understanding or knowledge will become complete and he will easily reach Vrindavan. Right? Does that make sense? So it still applies. That's the whole thing, is that when devotees say they're just being practical, means they're doing the same thing but without the knowledge, without the basis on authority. And without this basis, then the difficulty comes, it's practical but it's not Krishna conscious. Right, then, okay, but because Krishna consciousness is so perfect, then if the end result of that activity that you've done without actually proper understanding of its connection with Krishna, the result of it can be given to Krishna, it's still the benefit of the whole thing is gained. Does that make sense? You go to a job, just make your money, you know, this and that, but the money then is used in Krishna consciousness, then you've connected that whole work and anything connected to it. Right? Does that make sense? But you can improve this by being able to see your work in connection with Krishna and anything connected to that work in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? Then it improves the quality. So in the beginning, just that result is given, that you identify yourself as servant of Krishna, so then the abhideya will be connected. But what we're saying here is that we can also, through this proper understanding that Lord Chaitanya has given, then take it into those realms also. So the more we know, the more we can apply it and technically connect it to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? So that's the idea. Okay? Another practical example is that of a boy, Devadatta, wants to eat a rasgulla. Here the sambandha is in relation to people and food. The prayojana could be to relish the sweet taste. What is the Abhideya or process required to achieve this goal? This depends on more information in the Sambandha category. Does he already have the sweet on his plate? If this is so, then the Abhideya or process is to simply pick the sweet up, place it in his mouth and chew. If he does not already have a sweet, then his Abhideya may be to either cook some or offer them to Krishna, or he may purchase some Mahaprasad at the temple. Does that make sense? So this process, relationship, process, and goal is going on at every moment with anything that's happening. Like that. It's the way it's been created. We have to remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Krishna. And he is the origin of everything, right? Does that make sense? He is the origin of Balaram, who is the origin of all other Vishnu Tattva. He is the origin of Srimati Radharani, who is the origin of all other forms of Shakti. So did we miss anything? Right? Something was left out. Your G.I. Joe doll, or, you know, your work, at your, you know, at your business, your work, your money, your family, you know, your flea-bitten dog. Or maybe your dog doesn't have fleas. Your dog has fleas. No, your dog has no fleas.
He has no dog.
No dog, so no fleas. And his dog has no fleas because there's no dog. Very logical. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Means he is the origin of everything. Therefore, when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya speaks, then you'd have to take it as the ultimate authority. Because he's created everything. Everything's come from him. So there's a good chance he knows what's going on with everything. That it wasn't that, you know, there's the creation of all the Vishnu Tattva, then of all the Shakti Tattva, and then, you know, your little family situation somehow or another got missed in that, and it was generated on its own, you know, like that, you know, it was. Originally, it was a little one-celled molecule like that, and then, you know, decided, hey, you know, why don't we, you know, have some family into? Why don't we call out for pizza, you know? And so to do that, then they had to grow up, because you can't make, protozoa cannot make a phone call because it doesn't have fingers. You need a finger to push the buttons, right? And you need a mouth, you need an ear, then you need another hand to hold. I guess you could push the buttons and hold the thing, but it's more easy if you have two hands, right? Because we're being practical, right? So then they would have to have grown up, get that, and they would have also had to consider into it that they'd have to encourage other protozoa to follow them. Otherwise, how do you get the guys that are going to cook and deliver the pizza? Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So then these protozoas then came up and all these things like that. And therefore, then we have, you know, something that's very separate completely than God's creation. So by understanding God's creation, it won't apply in my life. Because my life is different. I'm unique. I'm special. Right? This is called illusion. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? You're wondering, is the pizza illusion? Depends which protozoa made it. Yeah? Is it okay? So, therefore, you're trying to establish that everything falls into Vastutraya. Vastutraya can explain everything. There's nothing that doesn't fall into the categories of Vastutraya. Does that make sense? It's a matter of understanding how to that works. Because since you have something that everything fits in and it relates to everything, that means even though it's very simple, it's only got three parts. It must be extremely sophisticated to be able to accommodate every perspective, every angle, every goal that anybody could have. Does that make sense? So that then one doesn't underestimate the sophistication of it. It's presented simply, oh, that's being simplistic. No. anything that's a principle is always simple. Right? So then being simple doesn't mean that it's meant for idiots. It takes someone with brains to make something simple. Right? If you don't have brains, it's complicated. Right? If it gets something done. Or if you have no brains and it's simple, there's a good chance it doesn't work. Right? Or if you're simple, you've heard from authority, you just use it. You don't understand it, you just know it works. Right? Like the labor, when they're making round houses. Like that. All they know is, what is it? Whatever the width of the circle is, the outside diameter is 3 times that. That's all they know. They've heard it from their gurus. They wouldn't have a clue how it works. All they know is that if this is, 10 hands across, and you're going to put bamboos every 2 hands, therefore it's 30, so therefore you're going to need, 15 kutis, 15 bamboos. So it's easy for them. They don't know why it works, so that's simple. Right? But it works. Right? But they've heard from authority. Okay? So the efficiency is hearing from authority. So you can hear from authority, apply it. Not understand it, but apply it. Or you hear from authority, understand it, and apply it. That means that in situations that the authority hasn't explained it in relationship to, you can still use the instruction of authority. Well, the other person can't. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right, because they don't understand it. Is that okay? Yes.
Could you please come again?
Come where?
The same point.
Same point means?
How does understanding and applying make a difference?
How does understanding and applying make a difference? It's just like this. Let us say your father says, okay, you take 100 rupees, you buy goods worth 100 rupees. Then you sell it for 200 rupees. Okay? So now you've made 100 rupees profit. Right? So now you have 200 rupees. So now you take 100 rupees again, and you apply that. And sell that for 200 rupees. Okay? So now, right, now you have 300 rupees. So you don't necessarily understand how it works, you just know that you do this, it works. Okay? So, you will make money. Right? But when you have, 10,000 rupees and you still are investing 100 rupees and making that, you're making profit, but you don't understand. Now, if you understood the economics behind what your father's saying, then, when you have 10,000 rupees, then you're investing 1,000 rupees. Then you're making 10 times as much. You know what I'm saying? And then what if you only have 50 rupees? My father said this has to be 100 rupees. Then you can't do it. You understand? So when you understand the theory that's behind, the science that you're using, then you can apply it in situations that you weren't taught in. Right? Because how many things can they teach you? How many situations can you explain? You can only explain enough situations to make the person understand. All right? After that, the person has to use their intelligence and apply it themselves. Does that make sense? Okay. Here's an example from Srila Prabhupada. Just like, first of all, a boy or girl is to be married. So, that is the Vedic system. The father, mother, selects. That is called sambandha. When they are fixed up that, quote, this boy will be married to that girl. That is called sambandha. So, relationship. Then, when the sambandha is established by marriage, when the boy or girl is married, then the sambandha is done. Quote, now the boy and the girl may remain separately in their respective homes. No, that is abideya. When they're united by marriage, there must be dealings between them. This is called abideya. Abideya means not that, quote, now our marriage ceremony relationship is established. Now you, Mr. Such and Such, you go home, I go home. Quote, no, there must be actual activities. The wife should take care of serving the husband, and the husband should take care of the wife. Then the relationship. Why this relationship? Why these are activities? Now there is prayojana. What is that prayojana? To get son. Marriage means to get son. That is prayojana. Srila Prabhupada, Lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam 1524, Vrindavan, August 5th, 1975. So believe it or not, Prabhupada also uses sambandhavadeya prayojana. Some people, I've had senior devotees, preachers say, he doesn't use it. Where do you guys get it from? Here it is. Okay, right? You understand? So, in other words, you've established the relationship, but if a relationship doesn't do anything, how do you actually call it a relationship? Relationship means there's the establishing the field, then there's establishing that connection. Right? Once the connection is there, then there's activity. So that connection before we describe as desire or the interest. Right? Then there's interaction. Otherwise, it's just you've had the marriage, so that means that's the field. Boy is there, girl is there, they are matched, they are married. Right? So that's the field. You could say if marriage is the whole thing, then you could say, okay, we need a boy and a girl, then through the marriage ritual, then at the end of the marriage, they are married. Right? So that is the sambandha abhideya prayojana within sambandha in this example. But they're talking family life is the subject matter. Therefore, the sambandha is fighting the right two people for the marriage, getting them married, right? Then they interact, then they have a family. Right? Does that make sense? Then that works. Right? Then it's complete. Okay? So, this principle means is that why is he saying there? Because we could say it's established, that's enough. And many people think once that's there, that's done. Right? They're married. You know, the guy goes out on Sankirtan, the girl goes and, you know, does deity worship and that. But where is the family? Where is the interaction? So it wasn't that. You know, if their goal was to get them married, that they've done. But what about the relationship within that? That is basically ignored. Does that make sense? Someone got them, they went out, they worked, they got the money, so it's done. But now what are you going to do with the money? How it will be spent? How it will be properly used for the family? You know? Or that they've gotten the things for the family, then it's done. What about interacting with those things that you've bought? Does that make sense? You know, you buy pots, if nothing's cooked in the pots, then what's the meaning? Does that make sense? Like that. So, in other words, once the relationship is established, then there must be interaction. That interaction must give some result. Does that make sense? Right? Then it has meaning. Then it has meaning. Okay? Otherwise, not so important. Yes?
Would it also be like in this case, the son is the prayojana? Mm-hmm. Actually, when the son is there, then now we have to deal with the son. Now we have to, according to the duties and
education. Yeah, it means now it's a son relationship. Now it's a matter of he's got to perfect his life and become God conscious. So that's your goal. So you have the son, so there must be an abideya, there must be a process. Right? So therefore, you know, proper association in the family, proper training, you know, outside the family, by that combination, then you bring them, you know, proper practices, experiences that they will then develop their love for Krishna. So you're always dealing with the sambandha abhideya prayojana every moment. It's just a matter of if you're dealing with a smaller circle, a bigger circle, they're all going on at the same time. So that's what's confusing is, which one to focus on at the moment, which one you're dealing with right now, right? Just like there's sounds going on here, there's sounds going on upstairs, there's sounds going over there where they're working. But we don't bother with those other sounds, we just listen to what's going on in here. Right? So that's the whole idea, is once you understand the Sambandhavidaya Prayojana, then it's a trick of applying which one you should be listening to. You know, which one you should be applying, on which circle. Right? Right. So even it's the family life is the total picture in this case, but still you have to get them married. So that will be some Sambandhavidaya Prayojana within that. Does that make sense? So like this, you're going to apply that within the Abhideya, within the Prayojana. It's always it's the same principle is always going to apply. Okay, Nirnaya, conclusion. Understanding the Vastutraya of any situation is a solid method of analysis. Vastutraya constitutes complete knowledge because it considers the elements. All complete knowledge considers all elements, like Devadatta's complete knowledge. Vastutraya considers all elements. Therefore, Vastutraya constitutes complete knowledge. Okay. So we're saying that in this way one can see that in every situation Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana apply. This is important to understand because any type of knowledge without understanding these three aspects is incomplete. Ultimately, a person equipped with knowledge of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is able to fully ascertain any situation and its connection with Krishna. Okay? Does that make sense? So then you could also take that last point that's being made, that is your actual conclusion, right? And this one before these put as conclusion is where you're bringing it close. Because your actual point is that therefore you can see everything in connection with Krishna, right? Because you're trying to establish that it's in connection with everything, but now what you're going to do with that, right? Does that make sense? It's the conclusion of the debate. But if you're making the presentation, as we're saying with Gotama, then you're making the sangati, you're making the connection. So you've made your point in connection, in this case, with Krishna, with understanding Krishna. Does this make some sense? Yeah? Vishaya, thesis. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is the essential teachings of the Vedic literature. The Veda is called Trayi because it's essentially teaching is Vastutraya. And a complete understanding of the Vedas comes from studying in terms of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Okay? So now here we see is that when we're using that other... where would that be? Do you remember those? Anyone has a note of those terminologies? There was a list of those two lists of terminologies. We had here we're using Vishaya, then Shamshaya, Purva Paksha, Uttaram, and Nirnaya. Right? So the synthesis is coming at the end there. But the other is you're using Pratigya, Hetu, Udaharana, then Upanaya, and Nigamana. Like that. Complete. So you're giving the thesis and then your reasons. Right? So then when you're using Vishaya and Shamshaya, that your reasons are included in your Vishaya. So in other words, the same elements are there, it's just a matter of concluding, connecting in here, because you're dealing with someone else's doubt. Does that make sense? So we see here, then he's saying Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is the essential teachings of the Vedic literature. That's your thesis, right? Now, then the hetu, your reasons is, the Veda is called Trayi because its essential teaching is Vastutraya. And a complete understanding of the Vedas comes from studying it in terms of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So that's an expansion, right? Only when you expand can you get a doubt. Because Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana is the essential teachings of the Vedic literature. You can start to have a doubt, but you can't really express it because it's the essential teaching of the Veda in what way? Right? So once the hetu will give you an application. Once there's an application, then you can say, no, it doesn't apply like this. Like I can say, this is a pillar. Okay. What do you mean by that? I say, this is a pillar. Anything that, you know, means, you know, you have to have this many bricks and this much cement and put it together like this, and then that is your perfect pillar. Then I can have a doubt. Yeah, but what about that pillar? That's not a pillar? That one's not using the same amount of bricks. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay, you're open for it. You're ready, but you've said something that is not so, you know, it's an essential theme, central point through around which you can get everything to work. Right? But you haven't said enough that the other party can actually grab something. Right? Once they grab it, then they go. So we understand here is that the two parts here go into the one. Then the third part, which is examples, where you yourself anywhere are going to clear doubt, because your examples is more important because you're explaining it. But if you're talking with someone else, the doubt becomes the prominent reason. So therefore, the doubt comes to a prominent place. So then it's brought to its the second position instead of being included in the third. Does this make sense? Why we're saying this is we want to point out that there's no contradiction between these two systems. Like that. Because otherwise, this is what causes doubt within studying the Vedic literature. Right? Because it's seemingly contradictory. So that's why we're trying to remove this. If you're just explaining something, you go on, and if you think someone might have a doubt, they're not expressing it, you express it. And then you give all your examples. So that's happening in your third part. You've said what made your point, expanded it, then given all your examples, cleared doubts, then you bring it back together, and then you give its connections. But if there's a doubt, you express your point, you've made your expansions, the doubt comes up. But the doubt's coming up in the position of the for you in the third position. But because they only see your point and your explanation as one thing, therefore their doubt comes to the second. Right? Then, where you would be explaining things to remove doubt, that's where they're explaining their doubt. And then you're going to, you know, and then you're going to give your answer to that, which is then your connection, how you say it? Which would be still your third part, but to them now it's the fourth part because their doubt is the important thing. Right? So their doubt takes up two parts instead of one. Right? But if you're not having a discussion, then your explanation and examples takes up two parts instead of being merged. You understand? Yeah? Then you'll bring it closer, you'll bring it together, you'll conclude it, you'll synthesize it, and give your conclusion. Right? So the main thing is in the discussion, then the synthesis is your conclusion. Right? Because then the doubt is removed. Right? Because that's your goal. But if you want to go beyond the doubt, it means now you're going to apply it, therefore then the other aspect of the system. Right? You're going to then take it into its connection with other things. Right, and so the most important connection is with Krishna. Right. Does this make sense? Right? No?
If there is an objection to the thesis, mm-hmm. is that more on the grounds of a mental rejection or is it an intellectual doubt?
It could be either. See, if the objection is intellectual, it's called a doubt. If the objection is emotional, it's called a misgiving. So that's why Prabhupada says, doubts and misgivings must be removed. A doubt means, is intellectually I can't put it together. I can't understand how you put two and two and got four. Misgiving is, you say 2 + 2 = 4, I don't want 2 + 2 to be 4. Right? That's the difference. Misgiving means, I have some emotional reason I don't want it to be like that. The other one is, I don't understand how it is like that. I have a doubt about how it's like that. I'm not saying that it can't be like that. Well, the misgiving means, even though I understand that 2 + 2 = 4, I don't like it. I want it to be something else. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you gave me 2 rasgulas and 2 more rasgulas. I want it to be 20. Right? Because that's how many I want to eat. I don't want to eat 4. I want to eat 20. So that's a misgiving. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say that the doubt might come up because the connection between the reason that Jesus isn't made, you said...
Between, it's not made. It could have been made, you don't understand it. That's why it's very important to not take it, it wasn't made. You can say, I don't understand it. It appears contradictory, or it appears that there's no connection. But to say it's not, then you would have to be very confident. You can present it that way, but then once you present it that way, then your uttara is going to be more strong. Because you've confidently said the other person is wrong, so they're going in the same confidence show you how you're wrong. Well, if you say, it's submissive inquiry, so therefore this seems contradictory, so I don't understand how it works. Then you leave it open for a more gentle explanation. So it's just whatever you prefer, you know, live by the sword, die by it, right? You know, that's all. So that's also a problem in the moderns. Before is that they would make a strong presentation, they get it back and that. Like I remember hearing one, it was in one meeting, really strong devotee. He would always present things very, very strong, and he'd be very strong in his observations about others. And then one day, a topic came up, and somebody who was not the normal part of the discussion came in and was really strongly speaking against this person. And so then, who was the person who was chairing the meeting, then he said, you know, told the person, says, you can't speak like this, you know, it's like that, it's not proper, you know, thinking that the other person would be disturbed. And so that person says, no, it's not a problem. I can dish it out, I can take it. So he wanted to have it on that level because it would be very direct and over very quickly. You know, everything's on the table. But nowadays, is everyone wants to be able to speak harshly to others and be dealt with, you know, with, you know, how you say, you know, kid gloves on the other way. You know what I'm saying? So that's a difficulty. You know, that's what we were talking about this morning of spin doctoring. The topic's something else, but you spin it to make it that it's all about you when it was something about something else. Does that make sense? Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow. So, yeah.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Yes?
This devotee is going to meet you.
They're meeting me? I thought they were meeting you.
That means, are they going to talk to you or something like that?
I don't know. I think it was just they wanted to come over and see the school. I think it was just a tour. I don't think it's. You can see if they bring it up. Don't you bring it up?
Okay.
Yes. Don't volunteer.
Yes, Maharaj.
You know that. Oh, do you want to speak to the
Maharaj? Maharaj, I won't.
Huh?
I won't do that.
Okay. Because I was on this understanding they just want to come over and see the place. You know, because they've already sat with me and I've already explained it. And now you can give. You can give the boss here. Yes.
He's on the side of the Tibetans and the Tibetans.